it's very important to make sure that the subcontractors or the third party vendors or the freelancers are provided appropriate briefing and induction. At the end of the day, when it comes to a project, whether it is the in-house team, whether it is the sponsors, whether it is the external stakeholders, whether it is the third party service providers who assume an even larger role because they are involved in the outcome of the project, all of them are part of the same team. When we had spoken about the project team sharing a common goal, a common desired outcome and feeling like one, and we spoke extensively about collaboration between the team, understanding that they're all working towards one goal, it is very important that the outside third party vendors also feel like part of the same team. Because regardless of the fact that they will be involved for a specific phase and a specific duration and they are not full-time employees and they will come and go, the fact is that they are as much involved in the desired and successful outcome of the project. So one, if they don't know, if there is confusion about what the eventual deliverable is, then how will they behave and respond in an appropriate manner? Take for instance this module. We have been working on various modules for a very long time. And at the start, in the planning stage of every module, we are briefed extensively. There's a lot of dialogue, there's a lot of discussion so that we know what is the eventual desired deliverable which is required out of this. Just simply telling us go and talk about managing resources and teams could have various perspectives to it. What is it that we're eventually looking for? What time? What sort of cases? What sort of dimensions? What sort of discussion? So it is important that briefing and induction is provided at the start, because without that, there will be complete confusion about what the eventual deliverable is. Also keep in mind that versus project management team in-house employees who have constant access to the project manager, who in times of some confusion, though it's very important that they have no confusion right at the start in terms of the final deliverable to and the final outcome, can have a lot more frequent communication as we discussed, can have their confusion and doubts sorted, whereas a third party vendor may not have that many chances to do that, and he will start working on it right away with a very tight time frame and deadline given to him. And if he does not clarify his doubt, or if he has not been briefed properly in terms of what is required of him, then he may actually end up producing something which is not what the acceptable deliverable was. Now, if it has not properly been specified in the contract, he has not properly been briefed about it, then you have a situation for dispute. Straight away dispute. And we are trying to, through project management and through managing third party vendors, we are trying to reduce, if not absolutely eliminate, dispute as much as possible. So it's very important that there is complete clarity in terms of what is expected. For example, if there is a software, if there is a service which is being provided, which is going to work only on 3G, and there is a certain bandwidth issue, and there is a certain area where this vendor does not understand, and he is not briefed properly, and he creates something which is workable, which is not workable on 3G, and which is working only on 2G, though anything on 2G will work on 3G, but maybe there is some updation issue. Recently, there was a problem where a certain service provider upgraded their, every time you upgraded to their 3G service, it would not work properly on Windows 8. And lot of customers were being advised to downgrade their Windows 8 to Windows 7 so that there would be compatibility. Now, that is really, really absurd that someone downgrades from Windows 8 to Windows 7. But regardless, what happened here was that at the initial stage, whoever worked on this did not ensure that there was proper 3G compatibility with Windows 8 for this service provider. There was some updation issue. There was some issue which led to a lot of disgruntled customers, which led to a lot of bad blood, which led to a lot of cases, led to a lot of disputes because there's money involved, there's customers' money. Now, all of that. Now, according to me, there is a significant lapse in initial understanding of what was to be delivered out here. Now, whoever the third party vendor was who worked on this clearly was not briefed that there is this compatibility issue and we have to work in a way that this compatibility issue does not come into the picture. And they must have worked, they must have spent crores, they must have spent so many billable hours, and at the end of the day, you are left with something which is not the desired outcome. So it's very important that briefing and induction happens properly and your eventual deliverable is achieved. Now, again, it is very important that your third party vendors feel like a part of the team and share your enthusiasm. Now, they are outside engagement people. However, if they are not going to be as enthusiastic as you, then if they are treating it just as any other routine thing, there is a mismatch in terms of how excited you are about delivering and how committed you are about delivering your product versus them. So we want everyone to be on the same page. At the end of the day, regardless of the fact that the third party vendor, the vendor does his outside vendor, plays his role and then disappears, regardless of the fact that I will deliver this module, I do not get involved in how many students view it. I do not at times even see the log on to your intranet and see it. But having said that, do I not want to generate the best module possible for you? Now, if I am going to say, okay, there are these slides in the background and I'm just going to read what's on the slide and finish it and get it over and done with, then that is very routine. I'm not sharing the enthusiasm that we want to bring all the students up the curve on managing resources and managing projects, teams and resources, and make them as knowledgeable about this as we can, given the parameters that we have in terms of how much, what time is involved, how much the budgets are, all of these things. So if I don't share the enthusiasm, it is definitely going to reflect in the final product. Now I can say, okay, I'd come deliver something basic, I get, as an outside consultant, I get paid for the 2 days work, 3 days work, I go away. But I am constantly preoccupied by how was it received. I may not stand on Willinker's head and find out about it, but I definitely keep my ear open for any feedback that comes back. I would like to provide the best product. So that is happening because I, as Professor Suruchi, feel as much part of Team Willinker. I share the enthusiasm for creating this know-how. So it is exceedingly important that you share the enthusiasm as much as the internal employees, and whose role again becomes very instrumental in conveying this enthusiasm. Definitely the role of the project manager. The project manager is the one who has to make the team feel, the external vendor feel like a part of the team. Now there are times when external vendors will want to showcase their successes. If they worked on a service which has been received, which and the eventual outcome of the product has been received very well, and they have also provided a service which has contributed to making this product a success, any software package or anything a success, then it is possible that those vendors would like to showcase this success on maybe their website or in their brochure or on their profiles. Now, again, the project manager, in keeping with what is permissible by the organization, may or may not permit the third party vendor from using this. In the interest of keeping a good relationship, it is very important to maintain a good relationship with a third party vendor. Usually, in the interest of maintaining a good relationship with a third party vendor, a lot of organizations will permit vendors to use their names as testimonials or as clients who are happy with them, maybe even have a quote from a senior management person from the client, where there has been a successful project service provided and a project outcome. However, there are certain companies who choose, as per their internal policies, to not publicly share their name or the fact that who are the vendors that they are engaging with. They do choose not to publicly share this. Now, if you are such a company, then yes, you will have to say no to the vendor. However, wherever it is permissible, wherever it is permitted, the third party vendor should be allowed to use your name as a testimonial and should be allowed to showcase your thing. For example, I was recently looking at the site of a consultant firm and they had listed names of Sodexo. They had a statement from DHL of how they were happy with the services. They had the names of some very logos and names of some very prominent clients who they had worked with, where they had provided project management support and services of various magnitude. And clearly, the fact that their logos were present, the logos of these companies, Sodexo, DHL, among others, were present, even statements and quotes from the senior management of these companies was present about the services provided by this vendor, was evident that here it is permitted as per the company policy, and in the interest of maintaining this good relationship, the companies have allowed them to use their name in terms of satisfied customers. So it is that helps the vendor feel that much more part of the team and that much more involved with the team if a good relationship is maintained. Now, it is very important that during the project, you have to monitor the compliance of the vendor and subcontractors. So your contracts will include not just start to finish, they will also include clauses about progress, stages, monitoring. You have to monitor to see, are things going as per schedule? Is something not working in terms of moving towards an acceptable delivery? Is something not moving in compliance? Compliance and rules and regulations are very important. So at every stage of the service which is being worked on, is it in compliance with what my requirement is or not? What my laws permit or not? So you will have to have constantly maintenance control people involved, because your contracts are not just about start to finish. Your contracts are also about the ongoing work, and post the work also about maintenance. So during the project, it is very important to monitor whether things are moving as per schedule. The way we mentioned that you monitor internal teams as well, there has to be a regular monitoring mechanism. Likewise, there has to be a regular monitoring mechanism for the vendors also. It is very important. And changes in the project needs are inevitable. Of course, we spoke about risk yesterday. We spoke about uncertainty. We spoke about estimations. Parameters will change. Situations will change. Now, for example, the example I gave you about the 3G service upgradation not being compatible with Windows 8. Clearly, something had changed for the service provider, which was creating this glitch where there was non-compatibility with Windows 8. Now, something has changed versus whenever it is in the past that they may have launched or worked on it. Now, whoever the vendor was who was working on this should have been kept apprised of it and should have been monitored for this and briefed on this. But not only that, every time there is a change. Now, if this service provider was to reach out to the vendor during the course of the project and say, look, there is a problem, there is a glitch. It appears that our 3G service is not compatible with Windows 8. You need to change the service you are providing or make these changes to make this compatibility happen. Now, every time there is a change involved, a vendor is not sitting to just take change on any basis. Every time there is a change involved, there is rework involved. There is a relook. There is wastage of earlier work which has already happened. Hence, a vendor, chances are, will want to bring in additional costing and additional billing whenever there is a change involved. And a lot of times, vendors who feel that they got a raw deal at the start, when the contract was signed, maybe they were dying to get this project with this company. Maybe they were dying to have this client included in their list of clients. So if they feel that they underquoted and underbilled, Now that there is a change, there is an additional requirement, chances are that the vendor will try to throw in a rebid which is higher, which will lead to significant cost overrun for the project management team. So keep in mind that every time there is a change, and changes are inevitable, sometimes they are small, sometimes they are big, most of the times they are there. So every time there is a change, there could be a significant cost impact coming in from on behalf of the vendor for this change requirement. So when you draw up your initial contract at the start, it would be advisable to have some clauses in it which also factor in what happens in the event of a change, in the event of a relook. Let there be a band in terms of what the price range should be. Some estimate, you can of course never get it accurately, but let there be some allocation for changes which happen during, or which may come up during the course of the project, okay? Because otherwise this is something which can lead to significant disputes, this can lead to breakage of relationships, and this can also, in a really really bad case scenario, it can get legal. And there are times when there would be certain clients who would hold back cash and say, no, we will not pay unless you finish, and this is not the product we wanted, we want this change, you are not understanding. And when it comes to money, things are very sensitive. So cash back mentality, these kind of things can significantly harm a relationship and sever the long-term relationship beyond this immediate project, even if this project is closed properly or not. So it is important that change is recognized, anticipated, and some, you will never know what the change could be, but some allocation for what happens in the event of a change is made. Now, it is very important, I think everything I have said in the past supports this statement, that throughout the project, the manager will need to maintain a very good working relationship with the suppliers. You need to keep your vendors very happy. If a vendor is unhappy, he may give you a service which is substandard. If a vendor is unhappy, he may use some termination clause in the contract and walk away. Usually, they cannot walk away in the middle just because of a small issue, because all these termination clauses are there in the contract. But keep in mind that if a vendor is seriously dissatisfied, he or she may try and find some walk-away clause in the contract and use that to walk away. If it is money, then that's very clear, black and white. If it is a service this is what was required of us and now you're asking us to do this, they may walk away. So it is very important, and then you are left in a lurch. For example, we are doing 9 modules of your management, project management, teams and resources. And if I am told at the last minute that, look, instead of 9 modules, you now really need to do 20, and we forgot to mention it to you, and you need to do that in this time span, in this budget, then to me, that is unfair. It should have been stated right up front. Discussion around that should have happened right up front. And that is clearly a divergence from the terms and conditions, right? So it is important that vendors are very keen to get business. Consultants are very keen to get business. Consultants will chase after clients. Consultant will want prominent names on their CV, prominent names on their profiles. They want revenue, they want profitability. But having said that, vendors will also get frustrated and walk away and choose not to work with clients who give them headaches more than and sometimes even let go of revenue and money if they are just absolutely frustrated, because they do not want headaches. They also want respect and dignity for the work that they are doing. So it is very important that good working relationships are maintained, because also then if you have a good quality vendor, then over a period of time, he is going to be very trustworthy and loyal, and you can switch off and be in a lot of ways be mentally sure that, okay, my service is in the right hands. I have to do the regular monitoring, I have to do all of that, but yes, I know that I am with a trusted, loyal person, versus every time having to scout for a new vendor, because every time you work with a vendor, you spoil the relations and then they never work with you again. So isn't there an element of trust every time a new employee comes on on board, every time a new team person comes on board, where rapport has to be established, where style of working has to be established, where your understanding of each other, trust, faith, loyalty, all these things come in. So you can't be reworking every time. If you have a good vendor, regardless of the fact that he finishes his engagement with this project and he goes away, you have to try and cultivate them, because you may very well need them on an ongoing basis in the future for various projects as well. I mean, I have done so many modules for Wellinker. Wellinker has been respectful of me as an outside consultant, even though I would feel privileged to work with Wellinker as a very big name. So there is a respect in terms of what is expected, in terms of terms and conditions, in terms of a good working relationship between an outsider, a vendor, and the eventual customer and the client. Now, in the final phase of the project, which is the end of the project, a very important thing at the end of the project is assessing, did we get what we asked for? He provides his service, sends it to you, and sends his bill and says, please credit my account. It is very important that you go through what I have received. Is it really what I asked for? Has it met the guidelines? Is it the appropriate product being delivered? If not, let me try and work through, speak, discuss, have it reworked. There is a little bit of tweaking required here and there. Let me kind of brush that up. Let me get them to change that and give it. This is not changing terms and conditions, but this is a divergence from what I expected. So let me have that tweaked. Maybe not a major divergence. But after I get that and I'm satisfied, I release my final payment. Most people will not make 100% payment upfront. In fact, very few people make any advance payment. Most people will make maybe some advance payment at various stages of completion, starts shipping out a little more of the money. Even if you go and buy a fridge from a showroom, a refrigerator, you may not always make 100% advance payment, because you want to make sure that in the interest of the payment, they make sure that a good, well-functioning fridge is delivered to your doorstep in a timely manner. You may worry that once you make 100% payment, they've already got the money, they have no interest, they will take 10 days, they may not send you a good working refrigerator, you don't know what you'll get. So likewise, in any project also, with any vendor, most clients will wait to get the final product. Once they have assessed that it meets all the requirements, it is the appropriate deliverable that they required. In case any changes are required, that back and forth is sorted. Again, I will say that legal dispute should be the last resort, because then they really get ugly and get out of hand. And in most cases, I think differences between vendor and client can be sorted without a legal dispute. So once you have assessed your final deliverable, you release your final payment. Then it is unfair if you have got the satisfied deliverable product to then try and hold back any money, or, you know, ask for cash back because of this leeway and that leeway. And, you know, we indicated that, you know, the service will take 2 weeks, and, you know, we asked you for that, but see, we have finished in 10 days and you have submitted in 10 days. So give us some discount and all of those things. No, please don't penalize the vendor for his efficiency. Okay. So it is very important that the final payment is made and communication is made to the vendor. Thank you for your services. And this is closed now. So no further discussion on this. Then he does not come back to you with an additional bill. That additional bill should be discussed before this final payment. We had to provide this additional service to you, this change in terms, which is this, which now we've agreed on, please make the final payment. Once the final payment is made and communication has happened, this is closed. No further discussion on the terms and conditions as far as this service and this project is concerned. So it's important that these respects at the various stages are met with and are closed for the any vendor engagement for any project. So, a couple of other things to keep in mind at the end of the project is that we must give due respect to the role of the third party in meeting the project objective. Any organization or project management endeavor cannot have 100% of the services and skills in-house. any significantly large project management venture, and as all of you as students enter the corporate sector, especially the software industry, will increasingly be part of projects. And you will understand how vendors play a significant role and practically have become an integral part where you cannot wish them away. So they have a very important role to play in the project objective, because without those vendors, you will have gaps, you will have skill gaps, which you do not have the manpower to service in-house. Even with hiring and training, it's a long-term endeavor. Hiring, training, bringing someone up the scale can take years, if not months. So instead of going through this cost overhead, having salaried employees, hiring them, training them, not really having them have a track record, it is best to use vendors to bridge the skill gap, because the vendors have experts on board, experts with years and years of experience with a proven track record, who will come, who are cost effective, who will come for the duration of the project and go away. So there is a huge skill gap where you don't have to make it your business to always develop teams in-house in all the skill sets that are required. It may be humanly impossible to develop teams with all skill sets. Now, for example, think of a bank. A bank has a lot of software development needs. Now, can a bank, all banks have IT departments. They all have information technology departments. But do the banks have IT departments which are also developing software packages to the extent that software packages of a Microsoft or a Apple or any other large software developer are being created? Clearly, a bank cannot have the kind of skill set in-house of software development that any entity specializing only in software development can have. So it is best for a bank to engage when they need a certain software for a certain kind of product or a service that they want to offer, or an operational efficiency that they want to improve. It is best for them to go outside, engage an expert vendor, reliable expert vendor with a proven track record, go through your initial phases of contract, terms, conditions, the entire project life cycle, and it is more prudent for them to do that rather than move away from the main focus of banking and start training and grooming in-house software developers who are experts at PAR. That's very time consuming. It's not going to be possible, and it's quite frankly going to be a very expensive and useless and wasteful process. So vendors can really be instrumental in bridging the skill gap that organizations have. Now, project manager's role is very key, as we have seen. Project manager is the person who has to make sure they arrive on time in a timely manner. He also gets involved with the compliance of the senior management in terms of what are the terms and conditions. He's also the one who works together with the legal team to make sure that everything is as per compliance, who also is involved right till the end of the product to see that the product which has been received is completely as per satisfaction. And at the start of each phase, you have to see that your vendors, whether they are vendors who are engaged for the entire project life cycle or only for a specific phase, subcontractors or freelance consultant or licensed people providing licensed software, any of these are lined up at the start of any project, at the start of any phase, because lining them up later is leading to wastage of time and maybe a very foolhardy exercise. So this also becomes a very important part of the project manager's role. Keep in mind that if there is a dispute with a vendor, very often it becomes a game of who is to blame. The project management team, communication did not happen, no vendor did not understand, did not respond back, and in a lot of good energy is wasted in this who is to blame game. And legal aspect is completely another story entirely. So hence you want to avoid a dispute situation that gets ugly, because it will lead nowhere. there is leakages happening, and at the end of the day, the project outcome will be compromised. So it is very important that all these things are overseen by the project manager, and the project managers, it is his responsibility to make sure that briefing happens, the ongoing monitoring happens, there are warranties, maintenance in place. In case the final delivered product is not as per satisfaction, then there is a very clear thread of terms, conditions, contracts, which can clearly show that it is not, so that there is no dispute happening. It is very crystal clear. And also in terms of if everything has gone well, then it is his business to maintain a good working relationship and to make the final payments, to make sure that this whole life cycle has been treated very well, has been treated very respectfully. After the final payment, make sure that communication has happened, that look, your services were very well received, your final payment has happened, now we switch off from this and we no longer engage on this project. There would be dialogue maybe for other projects, etc., but work on this project is over. So this is a now a closed and successfully closed story for all of us involved. So a project manager's role in making sure that all these stages of final payment, of making sure communication is has been sent, that this is now closed and finally over, so that you know there is no further wastage dialogue happening over that. All of these things he has to take ownership and responsibility for. You cannot say, okay, I delegated to a team member, please make sure that the vendor is aware and closed and say thank you and all of those things and make sure the payment goes, etc., and not really make sure and oversee that that has actually been done. So a project manager's role becomes very important in all of these various phases to ensure that a good, harmonious and a successfully productive working relationship with vendors continues during the relevant phase of a project cycle. Thank you.